Do you know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? Go to the BlackBerry store and download the Radio Bee app. Go to shoutcast.com and search for the Superhuman channel and get started today.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. Someone's not on mute. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Carl. How are you?
Good, Rob. I need you to kill, are you listening to the show on another computer or something?
Yeah, I got the computer close to it.
Just shut that down.
And
let's go ahead and bring Wade in. How you doing,
better?
Wade? Yeah, that's much better.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we have obviously Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnston on. We're doing our seventh installment of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. We're going to be talking about setting realistic goals for 2012 because this is where success begins. Setting unrealistic goals just guarantees lack of success, disenchantment, and abandoning your program. So we're going to be talking about that today. Later in the show, Mike T. Nelson is coming on. We're going to be talking about biofeedback in training. How can it be used to make better progress? So this is going to be a great show. This show is all about strength and training today. And you know what? I did a show yesterday. I don't know if you guys had a chance to catch it with Dr. D.C. Lee. We've done shows over the past 6 years with various scientists that show the fittest, strongest individuals live the longest regardless of body weight. They don't get the same diseases that everybody else gets. So this show right here, this is about healthcare, okay? Because if you're getting stronger, you're getting younger. And that is the motto of this. The motto of this show used to be stronger is younger when I first started doing it. So there you go. All right. So, guys, let's get right into this. The problem with goal setting quite often is people are unrealistic about how they set their goals. Would you agree with that, Wade?
Yeah, I think a lot of times people will see certain lifters that they look up to and the progress that they make and make what I would consider unfair comparisons, you know, and they set out, you know, to hit these gigantic numbers. And when those numbers don't come automatically, you see people get discouraged. And I see people post on forums where they'll stick with a routine 4 to 6 weeks. Oh, it's obviously not working. And they start changing. So you're spinning your wheels. You're freelancing. And it's just not an effective way to train. And so I think that that's probably one of the bigger problems, especially with competitive lifters.
Now, Rob, what do you think about this notion that 4 to 6 weeks, do a lot of people tend to abandon their approach, regardless of what their approach is, a little too soon?
Yeah, I think so. And that's really a product of two things. Like Wade said, number one, if you're not seeing progress in the gym, then obviously that's discouraging, right? Who wants to keep clocking up gym hours for a whole lot of nothing? But secondly, people really do not have a vast enough training library, I think, of tricks, let's call them, to pull out of their hat when things do go wrong. So plan B is a big part of life in general, and it's a big part of life in the gym.
Now, Wade, when people are making when they're starting to think about training, and this is the perfect time to talk about this, not in January, but now, because this is when people need to start thinking about January ahead of time. What do you think the biggest mistakes they make as far as laying out their routine? Let's say they're sitting here now going, okay, January is going to roll around after the holidays. I'm going to get back on track. I'm getting in. I'm going to train. I want to do a push-pull event, or I want to drop X amount of pounds of body weight and look ripped. They start making their list of the things that they need to do. Do you see common mistakes in that approach right from the get-go?
Well, I think what happens, in my experience, is there's too many goals, so to speak, in one training cycle, if that makes any sense. It's like, I'm going to lose body fat, I'm going to gain strength, I'm going to put on muscle, and I'm going to go from deadlifting 425 to 500, you know, in a 12 to 16 week cycle. And I can certainly appreciate the ambition, but I tend to try to get lifters to, let's focus on a couple of things, and let's really work on those. Let's get those to a consistent working point, make it through the cycle, compete or test, and then reevaluate on what your needs are. I think a lot of times people get so gung-ho, especially young lifters, that they're trying to focus on so many things that they don't focus on the needs that they have very well.
So do you agree with this? Do you think, Rob, you've got to pick what you want to do? If you're looking to build muscle, you need to focus on building muscle. If you're looking to build strength, you need to focus on building strength. If you're looking to shed body fat, you need to focus on that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But I think even more problematic than that is this. There is a supreme lack of patience in this country on all levels.
Yeah, I call it the lottery mentality. Nobody plans ahead.
Man, I'm telling you. You know, we expect everything instantly. We want to have it all instantly. And to a large extent, technology has allowed us to achieve that. We live in the information age, and Madison Avenue has pumped up the image that you can have that.
Right.
The real problem is people need to come to grips with the following. It takes time. And the biggest mistake, frankly, that I see is not laying a solid enough foundation to build on and taking a long-term view. And when you take a long-term view, you're not going to drop out at week 3, 4, or 5. You're going to hang in there because you know you have a plan.
Yeah, and a plan does make a big difference, doesn't it, Wade? I mean, a lot of people go, I mean, I just recently started keeping a training diary again, just within the past couple of weeks. I've been going for the past 18 months without a training diary, and I wonder why I'm not making progress.
Well, I think it's imperative that you have a plan. Fail to plan to fail. You know, it's an old cliche, but it's also really very true. And it's one of those things where when I set out to compete, I made what were my ultimate goals in the sport, and I set those numbers. And then you have to take a step back to where you are and go, okay, what is the logical and most reasonable next step for me to make progress and achieve that gives me another platform that's closer to my ultimate goal? And those were the things that kept me going when I totaled 1,700 the first time. Then the next target was 1,800 and what I had to do to get to that point. And a lot of times the plan was a year long. And so I think that's one of the biggest issues is a lot of people don't plan at all. They go in and I just lift big and kind of freelance, or they try to pack in so much to each session. You know, I think there's not a big level of consistency is ultimately what I see.
Well, with that being said, you know, what is realistic? And I'm going to go to both of you. I'm going to start with Wade, and then I'm going to go to Rob with this question. What is realistic for acquisition of strength, adding pounds to the bar? And I know it's different for elite lifters who have started; they're reaching their maximum. Adding pounds to the bar becomes more and more elusive than the new lifter. But what do you think is realistic to add pounds to the bar, to say the bench press, if you're training properly? And that's a big if the deadlift and the squat.
Well, I think this has been talked about extensively throughout the years, and I've had this conversation with Ricky Del Crane. And for a lifter to add 100 pounds to his total in a year is considered extraordinary. Now, with a beginning lifter that's, you know, he competes the first time and the next meet, he may compete in 3-4 months, you may see a giant jump. But even, you know, an intermediate lifter jumping 100 pounds is extraordinary. So you start doing math on that. You know, you divide that 100 pounds by 3 lifts, and now we're looking at 33 to 34 pounds for each lift over a year's time. You take that number and divide by 12, you know, we're looking at 2 to 4 pounds a month on each lift that you have to train consistently. You know, 100 pounds sounds like a lot until you start doing the math over a year's time. And that's where I think that goes along with what Rob has stated. You know, a lot of times people are so impatient, and strength, you know, is an unforgiving mistress. It will put you on your ass the first minute you overdo it or you're not consistent. And so it requires a great deal of patience, a great deal of planning. And the biggest thing, regardless of whatever method you're using, is being very, very consistent.
Rob, what do you think as far as adding pounds per year? What is a realistic goal for an intermediate lifter, a beginning lifter, and then maybe an elite lifter?
I think, I'm going to use the example of an intermediate lifter because, frankly, those are a lot of the guys that I work with. I don't think it's unrealistic at all to add 20 to, you know, let's say 20% to a 300-pound bench press. That's going to be 360 within a year. You give me that guy, I'll get him the 360 well before a year is up. And I can say that confidently, number one, because I've done it, and number two, I know what the roadmap looks like to get there. If you are driving from here in Massachusetts to San Francisco, to Wade's Point, you're going to get there a lot faster with a GPS.
Yeah.
Because
now, what about the more seasoned lifter? A seasoned lifter is reaching his the 90th percentile of strength, and he only has a little bit more to add year after year. Do you think it's realistic to add 20% to lifts over the course of a year if you've been training properly for years and years?
No, for an athlete of that caliber, a 20% increase in 1 year is just out of the realm of, you don't hear about it.
Right.
The biggest obstacle, as I see it, to those lifters, frankly, is remaining injury free. Because let's face it, and I had to come to this realization just recently. You know, for I'm chasing some big numbers for me anyway. And along the way, I'm running into things like tendonitis, you know, sore shoulders, and flexibility issues. So when I'm sitting here thinking about my goals for 2012 in the weight room, I'm going to go back to some foundational stuff, just body weight exercises to improve my flexibility and conditioning. Because you can chase those big numbers, but you're never going to get them if you lack the flexibility and you're running into issues like tendonitis and, you know, blown shoulders and pecs. It's not achievable unless you lay a solid foundation.
Okay, I like lowest common denominator logic. When we come back, I want to start to explore the notion that Wade has proposed here, these small incremental gains over the course of a year. We're talking today, this is our 7th roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. We're building superhumans here. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and complete completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. Now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. This is the 7th installment of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. We're talking about setting goals for the new year. Okay, let's explore this. I like this notion, Wade, that, you know, we're talking about 2.5 pounds per week adding to each of your lifts. It doesn't sound like a lot of weight at all.
No, it won't. And the thing that I try to impress upon lifters is let's not look at the small number. Let's look at the work that we have to do in order to get to the goal. The goal for the meet, and the goal for the year. That's going to be our long term goal, is what we're going to do for the next 12 months. And then I try to break that down with the training, from meet to meet. You know, what is going to be realistic to expect in a 12 to 16, maybe even 20 week training cycle? And how do we build off of that new number? You know, when they hit those PRs, when they hit those bigger lifts. So again, that we're setting the foundation. You know, again, something that Rob has stated very well, that we have a very solid foundation that we can continue to build on, and it's much like climbing a stairway. You know, the best and most solid way is one step at a time. You make sure that you have good footing on each step, and we add to that foundation each training cycle, and then at the end of that training cycle, you look at the numbers that you hit, you reevaluate what your needs are based on your current training, and you make those little adjustments. I mean, that's a lot of stuff all at once. But it all comes back to, I have a plan, and I'm going to be consistent, and regardless of little setbacks and things like that, if I'm consistent, if my plan is solid, then at the end of the year, you achieve those numbers.
Now, Rob, what would you say to somebody who's looking at this and going, wow, 2.5 pounds a week to my bench press, to my squat, to my deadlift, This sounds so easy. I'm not going to waste my time with that. I'm just going to move forward and see how far I can go as quickly. And then maybe once I get stuck, start looking at this approach. What would you say to people who allow themselves to get out beyond the curve, so to speak, instead of staying within the curve and gently making gains?
I'm a big fan of staying within the curve, but my answer may surprise you. I am no fan of micro-loading. You know, at one point in time, I went so far as to have custom plates made, quarter-pound plates, half-pound plates, by Piedmont Design Associates at the time, who did a great job for me. but I experimented rather with micro-loading, and I'm not a fan. I think you need to think big. I think you need to think big, lift big, and shoot for the moon.
But isn't that contradictory? Don't you end up with injuries then?
If your training is properly cycled and you are regulating your training workout frequency appropriately, I can and believe and have seen you can manage it.
Okay.
To avoid injuries.
Wait.
Well, and I should say I don't disagree, and it's not necessarily my approach being micro loading. I'm the guy. Trust me, I'll slap another quarter on their plate, and let's just see what happens. You know, but my thing is that when you look at the math, let me make sure I'm explaining this well. You're looking at over a period of 12 months. You know what that number is. So the thing that I try to do is give the lifter a target where they understand where they are and where we're headed. Does that make any sense? As opposed to looking at, you know, if we train for the next 4 weeks, you're going to add 5 pounds, you know, to your bench press. A lot of times it doesn't necessarily work out that way. And especially with intermediate lifters, once they really start honing in on their form, it is not difficult. As Rob said, I have taken many lifters that would, like when we would decline, I would look at their strength the first time that they trained with us, and I would have them do 185 pounds for 6 reps, and they'd look at me like I was an idiot. Then they would get the weight, and we'd hone in on their form. 6 months later, I've got a lifter that's doing 300 for 6. So it is possible. But in the realistic approach is, how do I, each time that we train, each month that goes by, each training cycle that goes by, how do we improve on that solid foundation where, you know, I'm going to ask these lifters, if I'm deadlifting 400 and I want to get to 500, I've got to ask a great deal of workload, you know, for these guys, but I have to keep it in check so we don't get the cart in front of the horse.
You know, this is really interesting because, as I said earlier in the show, I abandoned the training diary for the past 18 months, maybe longer, and just went into the gym and trained as hard as I could and really made moments of progress and moments of regress, but quite often pushed my body outside the curve of strength and pushed myself into situations that, while I was able to do the work, that workload may have actually hurt me in the long run. As far as acquiring greater strength, I was able to perform that feat, if you will, but then I couldn't build on it. I couldn't keep going at that pace. And then just recently, since I've been keeping a training diary again, I reverted back to the way I used to train years ago, which is I lay out my set and reps. And even though I may feel like, oh, I've got one more rep in me, I stop at the predetermined number of reps, because I know I'm going to add to it later, just not today. And what I'm learning is I feel better after my workout. I feel like I'm not completely spent. And now, you know, I didn't leave anything on the table for next workout. And I feel like, you know, next work, I'm actually starting to look forward to my workouts again because I'm leaving something in the tank, if you will. Does that make any sense?
It makes total sense, and that's something that I'll never forget. This Bill Kazmaier was famous for saying something very similar, Carl, which was leave a little bit in the tank.
Yep, I agree.
And And I just think it's so important for guys to hear that and practice it, because it's like a bank account. If you withdraw and withdraw, pretty soon you're over withdrawn and you're in debt.
Right.
And when you're in recovery debt, that's when your progress will halt. And then, like you said, Carl, there are moments where you will actually go backwards and regress.
Well, because what ends up happening is, at least for me, now keep in mind, I'm 53 years old. I am not, I've got a lot going on in my life. So training is not on the front end of the important scale, but it's number two. Okay. And so, I would make progress. I would be like, oh man, this is great. And I would go in and I would just thrash myself. And then the next 2 weeks, I would either not feel like training at all or go into the gym and have very, very little progress and actually not even, miss lifts that I've had before. Like I went in and I haven't been deadlifting consistently in any time at all. And I went into the gym the other day I hadn't deadlifted probably for at least a month. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go in deadlift. And I missed a 475-pound deadlift. And that's usually my third lift. I usually go up further, and I missed, and I thought to myself, you know what? I need to start keeping a training. That's what started me keeping a training diary. I thought, you know what? I need to start keeping a training diary again. I need to start prescribing. And I started to prescribe again. I need to start prescribing my workouts as opposed to coming in and freestyling or freelancing or just coming in and going, gee, I wonder what I can do today. Let me see what I can do, and making no progress at all. It's kind of like a guy who takes a couple dozen bricks, builds a wall, then stops working, comes back and knocks the wall down, knocks the bricks down and takes them, starts building again. It's like you're not building on the wall, the foundation that you built last time. You're not. So it really does make a big difference. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about something that I've been thinking a lot about, and that is there's not just 45-pound plates out there. Everybody's always trying to add just 45-pound plates to everything.
You mean the 100-pound plates?
No. Our culture is we only refer to 45 pounds as plates. I added 6 plates today. Well, what about the other plates? They're plates, too. Stay tuned. We're talking with Rob Regish and Wade Johnson. We'll be right back. Never been anything like you say, car guys. We got my move west side, east side. Every section where my connection lies. East side, bram it, the crowd go loose.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard to find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
She's a very kinky girl.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Mike T. Nelson will be coming on, talking about auto-regulatory training. Really very important to this discussion that we have today. Before we go any further, Rob, obviously people can learn more about the blueprint, of which we've done some shows on recently, by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the blueprint banner ad. The number of people that are proclaiming their progress from the blueprint today is growing every minute. Wade, go ahead and give your websites out also, where people can find your writings and your information.
You can find me posting my workouts at weightliftingdiscussion.com. And I got to tell you this, Carl. I'm sorry, Julia, who I spoke to you about off air, is listening as we do the show, and I've got her pulled up on Facebook because it's the only way we can communicate.
Okay.
So when I chuckle, it's because of her. So
okay.
Anyway, you can reach me at weightliftingdiscussion.com. You can also find out about Ogreware and supplements at johnsonstrengthgroup.com. You can reach me at supersquat800@yahoo.com anytime, and I have a Facebook account, so please, anytime, contact me.
And by the way, he has a nice picture of himself in a suit. Wade has lost a lot of weight recently, right?
I mean, when I was doing the pro raw stuff, when you and I started doing the show, when I would do the occasional show with you, I was about 365 pounds.
365.
And right now, I'm about 325 pounds.
That's amazing. I mean, it really shows, too. The picture of you is just amazing. I mean, you've lost so much weight. It's
congratulations.
Okay. What about this notion that the only plates that deserve respect are 45-pound plates? It's even in our culture. Rob Regish, when lifters talk, I did three reps with four plates on each side. You know, it's like the 25s, the 35s, the 10s, they're not even plates anymore. What are they then?
The 45s are great, but you're never going to get to bragging rights. I bench three plates, four plates, five plates by slapping more 45s on. You know, there are many different ways to accomplish that. And as my good friend Jordan, who goes by the screen name The Unlikely Toad, likes
to
remind
me. Yeah, I know.
You know, we play offense and we play to win. We play it smart, though, insofar as nobody's going to slap another 90 pounds on the bar, you know, to a one rep max and make that jump. The way we go about it, I would tell you, is very precise, very calculated. And relative to your point before, I've had a lot of guys say, hey, you know, I had workout number three of the loading pattern that you set me up with today. And instead of getting the four reps that were called for, I was able to do six. I'm over the moon. And I stop them and say, big mistake.
Yeah, what are you going to do next week?
It's very simple. The total tonnage is very carefully calculated. And those reps and sets and the amount of weight and total tonnage is very precise for a reason. There is a very specific effect that it is having in terms of loading and deloading the body, and you need to stick to it.
What do you think, Wade?
I agree. I think it's one of those things where you start doing the math of what you do over a training cycle. When I squatted 1040 earlier this year, I had a very specific plan, and the amount of times that I was over 900 pounds in training, you know, 900 to 950, you know, that doesn't seem significant when you're squatting, you know, over 1,000, but a little bit too far and what it does to the body over the long haul is detrimental, which speaks to what you were talking about, going in and going balls out with no plan. And so I think Rob's spot on with that, where you start doing the math and you look at the pressure that's on the body daily and week in and week out, and it will catch up. You push past that threshold, you know, you don't stick to your plan. That's what's going to happen.
You know what it really comes down to, in my humble opinion, and again, I am the last one to be weighing in on this of this group here, but I think that there's a lack of respect for the acquisition of strength. And I can only use the following analogy. My son got into BMX biking when he was a young boy. And here in Louisville, Kentucky, we have a world-class BMX course at Tom Sawyer Park. In fact, ESPN comes here once a year, and they record these kids doing these amazing, you know, flips in the air. I mean, the park has got this amazing BMX course. And I figured, since I could, A, ride a bicycle, B, had ridden a bicycle since I was a kid, and C, was not afraid of these hills, that I could go and ride a bike on those hills. And, you know, the first couple times I was able to do it, I was able to go up and down the hills, and, hey, I got a little air here and there. And then all of a sudden, I started to lose respect for this course, this world-class course. I thought because I was coming off the ground and landing okay, and I was pedaling, and I was like, oh, man, this is great. And I started to get a little ignorant bravery, if you will, or ignorant courage. And then it happened one day. I went over a hill one day, and bang, I hit the ground, and I ended up with a deep thrombosis in my right thigh because I hit the pavement so hard, and I was bruised, and you know, that was it for me. I didn't want to go. I never went back to that park after that. I went to the hospital that night because my leg swelled up. I couldn't get into the gym anymore, obviously, for about almost a month after that. And it's because I lost respect. I thought because I saw these other people flying through the air that if I kept trying hard enough, I would fly through the air as well. And guess what? I did, but not the way they gracefully did. I flew like a big lummox. And I think there's that same disrespect in the gym, that because I can put the plates on and because my hands wrap around the bar and because I look like I can do the move, then ergo, I can do this move. And I can add the weight until I can't add any more. And I really think there's a lot of that, and it comes from ego, unfortunately. You know, and so when setting goals, how do you get your ego out of it, Wade?
Well, I think the biggest thing with my guys is they have me there to kind of keep that in check. And throughout my career, I've been fortunate enough to have people that have mentored me. I've never really had a coach per se. I've had some guys that have trained with me that have offered guidance. But that's kind of the thing that I think makes the biggest difference. Two things is, like you said, keeping a journal. It's one of those things that when you constantly keep it updated, it gives you a certain level of self-accountability. And then with real training partners, guys that are not going to BS you, if you squatted high, they're going to call BS. You know, if your form was off, they're going to call it. That's one of the best things that happened to me is when I started coaching Melissa Garrett. And it became, I've always been her coach, but it became more of we leaned on each other to be brutally honest, to the point that, you know, there would be pretty big knock down, drag out fights verbally, you know, over things. But she kept me accountable, and there was no BS. If I was high, she called it. If my feet were wrong, she called it. So I think it's one of those things where you surround yourself with things and people that make you stay accountable and keep you on your plan.
What do you think about that, Rob?
Totally agree that there are two of the best teachers to keep your ego in check are the following. Number one, Train with somebody stronger than you, preferably a lot stronger. And secondly, and I don't wish this on anyone, but learn the hard way.
Hurt yourself.
Yeah. You know, you want to get your ego checked? You know, go in there and blow your back out, blow your shoulder out, tear a pec. You're going to learn real fast that you need to stay within yourself while you're pushing yourself.
You know, I'm the worst culprit of this because I'm 53 years old. So I already have the old man syndrome where, like, you know, look, don't count me out because I'm older. And, you know, I'll go into the gym and I will have already trained legs that week, or I will already have trained back that week, and I'll see some kid on the platform deadlifting, and I'll think, you know, I should deadlift today, or I should squat today, or, you know, just because, and it's not in my routine, and I've actually thought about having a shirt made that says something to the effect of, I can actually lift more than this. Just because I want people to know that I'm not weak, I'm not a wimp, I'm not puny. That's when the ego gets you in trouble. That's when the ego gets you injured. That's when the ego allows you to start writing things down in your training diary that you shouldn't be doing. I mean, I'm one of the worst offenders, and I'm, you know what? What's that when you go to an AA meeting? Hi, I'm Carl Lenore, and I have a huge ego in the gym. You know, it's like, I'm sorry to say it, one of those jerks. And it's hard for me, but you know what? Now that I do my prescribed workout at home like I used to before I get into the gym, and then I stick to it, and I don't care. If I only have to do 6 reps of this and I feel like I can go 7 or 8 and I want to show off, I'm not going to do it. I stop at 6. That's it. Because that's the prescription for the day. And I think it's really important that people, you know, take this approach. Okay, so give me a pearl of wisdom, Wade, for the listeners out there to help them with their goals for 2012. How can they make 2012 really a banner year in gaining strength? And this is regardless of whether you're training for a competition or you're training for health, because we know the strongest individuals live the longest. So if you're training for longevity, getting stronger is part of the prescription. Give me a pearl of wisdom.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me and for other lifters is keep a journal. And it's one of those things, it's such an invaluable tool. Again, repeating myself, it makes you self-accountable. But it also, the value in the information is you can see patterns in your training. And you start looking at that and go, when I did these things, this is when I made the most progress. And when you make that evaluation, then you structure your upcoming training cycle for the next year based on where you made that great progress. And then the other thing is to have realistic numbers. You'll look at what your gauge is. You can even put it on a graph. And the biggest thing that I tell people all the time, no matter what system you use, I'd prefer you use either mine or Rob's, but the best thing you can do, without a doubt, remain consistent. Stick to your plan. Stay consistent.
Okay, Rob, a pearl of wisdom.
Here's my pearl of wisdom for 2012. Stop throwing more money down a hole buying magic beans and surround yourself with 2 things: the best information and the best people that you can find. You will know no greater progress once you get your hands on the best information and put it into practice and tap into the minds of people that not only know what they're doing, but are people that, as Wade spoke to, they'll give it to you straight. Your squat was high. You know, you lack the flexibility to squat 405. It's not realistic to be trying to, you know, to set a goal to squat 455 in 2 months when you can't parallel squat, you know, something less than that.
Yeah.
That would be my pearl of wisdom.
And the best way to get in touch with people in the know and get direction from people in the know is go to superhumanradio.com and click and order the blueprint, or go to one of Wade Johnson's websites, which are, go ahead, Wade, give them again.
It's weightliftingdiscussion.com and johnsonstrengthgroup.com, and you can reach me on Facebook and email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com. And I strongly, Rob and I talk a great deal off air, and some of the things that he has suggested for me have been gold. So You know, and I'm not blowing smoke. I mean, you know, for an old man, I'm one strong son of a bitch, and for Rob to take time and spend some time with me talking about certain things, the things that I have been doing as Rob has prescribed have been very beneficial. So I encourage everyone, you know, surround yourself with as much valuable and solid information as you can and get Rob's plan.
But that's a huge endorsement from a man who's made his lifelong goal getting stronger. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, Wade's going to make an announcement. Are you ready for this, Wade?
I'm ready.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio, and we'll be right back with something very exciting. I'm really, really, really happy. We'll be right back. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I want to also give a shout-out real quick. Today is Dr. Lane Norton's birthday, December 15th. 2 or 3 years ago, he was on my show breaking the news about the different effects, protein synthetic responses of different protein sources. And he did it on his birthday. And I happened to be looking through past interviews for today, and I saw it was his interview, and sure enough, it was his birthday. So those of you who know Dr. Lane Norton, go to his Facebook page and wish him a happy birthday today, December 15th. I think he's 30 years old. Anyway, okay, with that big announcement, I think Wade has a big announcement too.
Well, let me preface this by saying, since you were speaking of birthdays, yesterday was my son's birthday, Wes.
Oh, and, happy birthday, Wes.
He turned 24, but even bigger, and I'll try not to be emotional, he asked his girlfriend of 4 years, Joni, to marry him yesterday. So, you know, it's you know, that's quite a big ordeal for for our family, and, you know, obviously we love Joni very much, and she's quite a special girl, and what's even more delightful is the two of them together. So, you know, we're very excited about that, and if that wasn't enough, a friend of mine from years and years ago, we connected years ago, and basically once we connected one day, we never saw each other again. And she lived in Alabama, I lived in Tennessee, and we lost track of each other. And fast forward 27 years, we reconnected, and I won't give you all the details, but I asked Julia to marry me, and she has accepted. So
congratulations.
I am officially engaged as well. So I really appreciate that.
Now, will you do it? Will you and Wes get married on the same day?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I want when Wes and Joni to get married, I want them to be, it needs to be their day.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're
and, you know, I thought about that. Now, what I did do is I asked Wes to be my best man, and that's, you know, that's a big deal for me. And, so, I mean, this is a big step for Julia and I, and to be at this point in my life, having gone through some of the things that I have even recently, to have an opportunity like this is certainly a blessing. You know, I feel like God's hand is in this, and, you know, for her and I to find each other after all this time and basically take up where we left off, you know, there was no hindrance, you know, nothing was labored, it was a natural thing. And, you know, for us to have this opportunity is something that I'm eternally grateful for.
Nah, that's wonderful. I'm really happy for you. Really. You know, Wade, I have to tell you that I think that you're one of the most decent, most honorable, most substantial human beings that I've met in all the years that I've met in this industry, outside this industry. You've never had a bad word to say about anybody. You're one of the hardest working guys in the field. And what I mean by that is you will drive a monolift to Louisville, Kentucky for some tiny little event just so that guys can actually compete in a really, really good environment. You've contributed so much to this sport silently, never even asked for as much as an acknowledgement. And you do it all with unbelievable grace, and I'm really happy for you, and I hope that you have lots and lots of great years with her, and whatever you want should come true, really.
So, well, I really appreciate that, and I think I can speak for Julia as she is listening to the show, that she appreciates it as well.
Yeah.
So look for some updates on Facebook and things like that. We haven't set a date yet. I think that's probably going to happen sooner than later. We've just got to discuss it and come up with a plan, but you know, we'll be sure that, you know, everybody knows, and anyone that can be there, we would certainly love to have them.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, I'm just a little bit north of you.
yeah. So. I told her, I said, I'm not sure that you understand the extended family that you're about to get involved with.
So, I know, right? You know, people all over the world. You know, isn't that, and Rob, I'm sure that you can really speak to this now with the popularity of the Blueprint, but it's like we end up talking about people that live on different continents, and I was going to say like we know them, but we do know them all, but actually physically standing in the same room with them, we know about their lives, we know who their children are, we know aspects about their lives that even people who come in contact with them regularly don't know. So they are close friends. We just haven't stood in the same space, right?
I think so. I mean, it's one of those things. I've gotten phone calls.
Rob, I am so sorry, Rob. I have to apologize. I had your mic shut off, didn't I?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I was just gonna.
I was just going to say, though, do you recall Panos Antonakos from last week's show?
I'm sorry for cutting you off, Wade, but I just realized I had his mic shut.
No, not at all.
Go, what were you going to say? Yeah, what, Panos, great guy, yes.
I just, the doorbell rang here right before the show, and Panos was kind enough to send my six-year-old son all the way from Greece a Christmas card and toy. And, you know, you talk about an extended family literally around the world. It's a wonderful thing.
Isn't it amazing?
Wade, congratulations both to you and your son. I'm just so happy to hear that.
I really appreciate that, Rob.
And Julia, of course. Wade, isn't it amazing, like, the extended family that you end up having because so many people know you for so many years around the world?
It's one of those things that when you get to be my age and, you know, having done this for a number of years, and I am so blessed to be able to travel and to meet and spend some time with so many people. And it is amazing, you know, where I've gone through different, you know, difficulties in my life or like today where, you know, you want to celebrate something that is truly life changing. And the people that have come out in droves and have been so supportive, it's truly, I have a simple philosophy that, you know, once we strip away whatever material things that we have, like my gym included, basically all we have is each other. And for people to have an opportunity to be a positive impact, to mentor people, you know, and just help people along has truly been the biggest blessings in my life. It is what pushes me to continue to strive to do the things that I do. And so it is truly a remarkable thing.
Can you say Julia's last name? I'm posting something on Facebook. I want everybody to go and wish her and you a congratulatory
it
post.
It is Julia Nails, N-A-I-L-S. Okay. She has a Facebook as well.
Okay.
You can see that we're in a relationship, and you know, because I told her until we post this on Facebook, it's not official.
It's not official. Isn't that funny? That is funny, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I'm posting this on Facebook as we speak. Listen, we've come to the end of the interview and the end of the year for this particular session of discussions. We'll break out in 2012, during the first week of 2012, with the eighth installment, and we will continue to do this show until we build an army of superhumans out there. And that really is my goal. I want to say something, by the way. In January, I will be on Fox and Friends on the Fox News station. I'll be flying to New York to appear as a panel guest.
Awesome.
I've also been invited to be on a couple other very, very high-level shows on CNN and the Discovery Channel. And I will keep everybody apprised as this goes. I was just interviewed on NPR. My mission in life, before I die, is to get people to understand the importance of physical culture and its effect on longevity and health. And I don't care if you want to get stronger because you want to bench press a certain weight. I don't care if you want to get stronger because you want to compete. I don't care if you want to get stronger because you want to be able to kick sand in somebody's face who kicks sand in your face. I don't care what the reason is. But what I do care about is this, that I dream of a day when people in other countries think about Americans. They don't think about us as slothful, hoarders and greedy and, you know, and just these walking, I don't even know what to call them anymore. I want to return to a time when Americans are thought of as strong and resilient and we can do the job. And that's my goal. And I'm going to be carrying the message of physical culture to the mainstream starting next year with the series of interviews that I will be doing. And it all starts here. This discussion that we have on this show right here, it's not about becoming a power lifter. But if you want to learn how to be strong, who are you going to go to? You're going to go to a guy who can lift barely more weight than you? You're going to go to somebody like Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnson? Because strength is the key to longevity. Okay? Guys, thank you so much for doing the show today. Have a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, man.
And to you guys as well.
Okay.
Truly a blessing to be on the show.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Mike T. Nelson on. Whoa. Talking about autoregulatory training. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. But we're only doing reps with the weight of the world if that's what we're supposed to be doing that day. Okay. My next guest is Mike T. Nelson. Excuse me. He is with the Kinesiology and Exercise Science Department at University of Minnesota. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How are you today, Carl?
Great. Mike and I did a fantastic interview probably about a year or so ago on proprioception that still gets mad downloads today from the website. And we're here today to talk about something called autoregulatory training. What exactly is autoregulatory training, Mike?
Yeah, it goes by, you know, multiple names, biofeedback training, Milsif kind of called it, cybernetic periodization. But at simplest level, it's just finding out, you know, what exercise and training, you know, is best for your body on a particular day so that your training can adapt to your changing, you know, mechanics and stress level and that type of thing that change on a daily basis.
Now, let me tell you why I think this is an important discussion to have after the discussion we just had with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. And that is, we were talking earlier in the show about setting your goals for 2012. However, when setting goals, you cannot abandon the feedback you're getting in the gym. So in other words, if you say to yourself, hey, I should be at this point by this time, I need to just stick to that and go for it. That may not be the right thing to do if you're not getting the right feedback from your body. It is said that a guided missile is off course 80% of the time and on course 20% of the time. It's constantly sampling its environment and correcting and overcorrecting and undercorrecting to stay on course. So through biofeedback, you can use biofeedback to enhance your goals, if you will, and make sure that you're staying on course. Would you say that's an accurate statement, Mike?
Yeah, I love the analogy on that. And how I look at it is the exact same way. So the sooner you can figure out that you need to make a change, then you can make a change and, you know, hopefully get back on course. I mean, some guys do a, you know, 12-week or 16-week program to increase their squat or whatever, and if you're a more seasoned athlete, then you got a pretty good idea of what's going on during that time. But as people are newer, it seems crazy to me to wait, you know, 4 months to see if a program worked or not. If we can shorten that time frame to 2 months, maybe a month, maybe a week, maybe a training session, maybe per exercise during a training session, then just like your missile example, you can make these little adjustments to keep you on course most of the time, and in the end, save you a lot of time and get to your goals faster.
Okay, so explain how this utilizing biofeedback actually works. Give us some examples.
Sure. So the simplest example is when to stop doing a set in the gym. So if I'm going to do, let's say, deadlifts, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you don't want to stop before your form starts to break down. And I would agree with that. Other people would say, well, you want to stop with maybe 1 to 2 reps, you know, sort of left. I think that's a good approximation. The other thing is you can just use feedback from your body to know when to stop. So we call these the elements of effort. And the simplest one to look at initially is your speed. So if you're doing deadlifts and the weight's, you know, pretty easy, first couple reps come up pretty fast, and then the third one is just really slow, well, I would have people stop ideally on the second one so that your quality of work is always pretty high. The other thing you can look at is changes in tension. Usually the amount of tension you're creating will go up as you get closer to the end. Usually your breathing will also change too.
What about heart rate? Do you think heart rate is any indication at all? We actually did a show recently how heart rate is not necessarily an indication of strenuous exercise because, you know, your heart rate can go up when you're watching a scary movie.
Yeah, it's good and bad. I did a bunch of stuff wearing a heart rate monitor for a while, and I think it may be okay to quantify sort of an efficiency rating. So if I have guys like, you know, mixed martial artists or people that do a lot of quote-unquote conditioning work,
right,
we may keep track of their average heart rate for a given amount of work to see if that'll decrease over time. Again, that means they're becoming more efficient. But on a set-by-set basis, I don't really think it's all that useful, to be honest.
You know what I do think is an important number, how the rate in which your heart rate recovers back to normal.
Heart rate recovery.
Yeah, I think that is an indicator of overall fitness, but I don't think heart rate itself is. But okay,
yep.
So for instance, if I'm paying attention to these multiple factors, and I'm Okay, so let's say I'm squatting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which I did this morning.
Nice.
If I'm I power squatted. I cheated. I didn't do free bar squats. I'm not ready to do free bar squats right now because it hurts my shoulders to hold the bar.
Oh, sure.
So I did power squats this morning, and I noticed that the last couple sets, I really, really felt like I was very, very – the muscles felt very strained. It almost felt – there was a threshold of pain I started to feel. My heart was pounding. I was sweating. But I wasn't breathing heavy, so should I have just kept pushing on?
Yeah, it'll vary a little bit for each person, but I would say that if you have any type of pain – have people stop the exercise before that. We're looking for any sort of change. And the people who work with us, initially, it feels like they're stopping their exercises really, really early. So if they were doing reps on a squat, say, and I'm just picking a breathing pattern, say they exhale on the way down, inhale on the way up, right? So if you're doing multiple reps.
Wow, wait a minute. You exhale? Oh, yeah, that's right. Right, you're blowing out on the way down. Okay.
You
okay.
can. It's, yeah. One's called, there's what they call a biomechanical match, and there's also what they call an anatomical match, and they're inverse of each other, right? So biomechanical match in general, like a bench press, so as you're lowering it, in general, you would be holding your breath more or less, and then sort of exhale through the sticking spot.
Right.
People can use what's called an anatomical match, which means that as the weight is compressing the lung field, you're actually exhaling and then inhaling as it's expanding.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're just kind of inverses of each other.
Okay, let's talk about that just for a second, because this is really intriguing to me. If you're exhaling on the way down, isn't your core starting to destabilize? Don't we depend on that column of air, so to speak, to help the core stay stable?
In essence, we do. I mean, that's looking at, you know, inner abdominal pressure and
right.
that type of thing. But I would argue that's probably only going to be for more of a max type load.
Okay.
If you want to be really efficient at doing something, say, I know you've done some work with kettlebells.
Right.
Kettlebell snatches, for example. If you're constantly trying to hold your breath when you're doing multiple reps of those, it gets to be really hard, really fast.
Yeah.
But you can still perform them with good form as you're dropping the kettlebell by exhaling and then inhaling as the kettlebell is going up. And again, this is for something you're going to be doing for multiple reps.
I really like this. Anatomically matched breathing patterns and biomechanical. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's usually what they refer to it as, a biomechanical match.
Yeah, I like this. We have to take a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, I want to pick it up
sure.
where we're leaving off right now. We're talking with Mike T. Nelson. Mike, what's your website?
Sure, it's just www.miketnelson.com, and they can sign up, get a free gift, and hop on my newsletter there for free.
There you go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Mike T. Nelson. MikeTNelson.com. Okay. You know, this is really intriguing. I've always thought that the only way to breathe was to breathe out during the eccentric portion of the movement, or the the concentric portion of the movement, the heaviest, you know, when you're pushing the weight away, or you're standing back up in the squat, you know, you hold your breath into the bottom, and or you breathe into the bottom and then push out on the top. I'm going to have to try experimenting with these other breathing patterns. But okay, so what else can we look for in the autoregulatory approach, the biofeedback, to help influence and give us some sort of indication that we have more in the tank or we need to pull the plug?
Yeah. So how we usually set it up then is you'd want to look for overload. And so like the three main components of overload, which I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with, first one would just be volume. So, you know, how much work are you actually doing for, let's say, a set of squats, right? So it's weight times sets times reps. Another one is to look at the density. Charles Daly was pretty popular with his escalating density training a while back, which is still around. And his whole premise there was trying to do more work in less time. So density can just be calculated as the volume divided by the time. So if you did, you know, 10,000 pounds of squats and it took you 10 minutes, but you come in the gym, let's say a week later or whatever, and you do the same volume on the same exercise, but now you do it in, say, 9.5 minutes. We know that that's a positive adaptation at that point.
Are you a big subscriber to the notion of accumulated work? So in other words, and you just pointed that out. So in other words, If I am doing, and again, using time as the, mm-hmm. the factor, you know, if I am lifting a weight, a 100-pound weight 10 times, that's 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're a big subscriber to that as an indicator of progress?
Yeah, definitely. I think the volume approach is one that's probably underutilized the most. And what you want to see over time is the volume going up. And it makes sense, right? So even as you get stronger, right? So if you can, you know, deadlift 405, you know, deadlifting 225 for reps is pretty easy at that point. You know, if your max deadlift is only 230, well, it's going to be a lot harder. So even if you were to only look at volume increases, it is or positively transfers to intensity or more weight on the bar increases too. So they're both pretty related to each other. And
so do you think no matter what anyone is doing in the way of a training diary, that they should at some point in time sit down with their training diary, maybe at the end of each week, and tally up in total all of their accumulated weight moved for a given movement, you think, and go, okay, so this week I moved 40,000 pounds in that movement, and the next week when they tallied up, if they moved 42,000 pounds, then they should consider that progress.
Yep, I would. I would, if they can, tally it up per exercise within each training session, and then I would look at one training session to the next for each exercise.
What if time is not a factor? What if you say, what if someone says, look, this week I did four sets. The following week I did five sets, but I did five. It took me an extra 4 or 5 minutes to do the fifth set.
Mm-hmm.
Am I still? Is the additional weight that I've moved still important?
Yeah, I'd say definitely. So just because you're physically able to move that weight, you know, which creates, you know, tension on the muscle, which results in adaptation. Which I don't really think we can stop the adaptation per se from happening. And then over time, if they want to increase the density, they can play with that. But I'd say that's actually a separate factor. So if people just took a pure volume approach and just kept track of their volume, especially if their goals appear to be more hypertrophy-based,
right?
I think they'd make a lot of progress. And if we look at what, you know, the typical routines that bodybuilders do, I mean, for the most part, they're pretty high volume routines.
Let me ask you a question. I've never asked you this before. Do you think that hypertrophy begets strength, or strength begets hypertrophy, or do you think that they are independent of each other?
I think they're independent but interrelated. So the old analogy, and I don't even know who I stole this from, is that, you know, strength is sort of like the size of a cup, and hypertrophy is sort of how much water or fluid you can put into it. So if I get a bigger cup and I had the same amount of fluid in it, that now gives me a greater potential to add more fluid to it. So some guys, you'll see, they're just, in essence, not really strong enough if they want to get, you know, bigger, drugs aside. So getting them stronger, doing, you know, singles, you know, doubles, triples, things like that, gives them a greater potential, I think, to do more hypertrophy-based work. And I think if you do enough volume, even at higher intensities, you will see some hypertrophy from that also. If you look at a lot of the top, you know, natural bodybuilders, you know, all the guys I know are ridiculously strong for the most part. So that's another indication that, you know, strength and I think hypertrophy are related to each other. And you can work on both of them simultaneously. I don't think it's in your best interest to purely only work on one. You can have an emphasis towards one direction or the other, but I think if you have a little bit of a mix of both, you'll make faster progress.
I'm a big fan of micro-periodization, and I mean periodization in a single workout.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like to do my heaviest movements with the lowest reps at the front end of my workout while I'm fresh and strong, and then gradually move to lighter weight with higher repetitions as I move through my training period. And now, and recently added something, the last things I do now are static holds.
Oh, okay.
I really like statics. I think statics are really underestimated. Rob Regish, the author of The Blueprint, got me to reinvestigate statics. And I think that statics have a neurological adaptation effect that you do not get from moving through a movement. Locking out in the most compromised position, locking out a muscle, regardless of how much weight you put on it, as long as there's some load on it, and holding that position until the muscle starts to quiver, quake, and wants to give out, but then holding it beyond that, I strongly believe, and I haven't seen any research per se, but I believe if you look for the research or there's some emerging research out there, I strongly believe that causes a greater degree of neuronal collateralization of the muscle, reaching in and having to activate fibers that normally don't get activated because the muscle is about to fail. And so the fibers that are doing all the work are going, okay, we just can't do this anymore. We need more of this muscle to get to work, because we know that only a portion of your muscle is really working. You just need to look at a 181-pound power lifter who can deadlift and squat 700 and 800 pounds to realize that the muscle in his body has greater activation per square inch than the muscle in my body. What I'm saying? So
yep.
I think that there is some value to statics, but we're getting off course here and going back to the auto feedback mode. So give me an example of some of the things you do with your clients when you start to introduce them to this auto feedback approach to training.
Sure. So the first thing we do, and again, this is if they will allow you to do it. Some people who are, I'd say it's more of a difference between fatigue-based versus actual more work-based. You know, so if I was to set up my work day, you know, I'm never going to go, well, you know, today I got to work maybe 9, 10, 12 hours, and, you know, my whole goal at the end of by the time I leave work is just, you know, to crawl out the door and just be, you know, obliterated, and it's going to be horrible. You know, you would set it up so that, you know, how can I get the most amount of work done at the least cost? So I can leave work and, you know, get all my stuff done. Maybe I get to leave early and then, you know, go off and do something else. Unfortunately, when people enter the gym, for whatever reason, that logic seems to get, like, flipped around on its head. And the people think, well, you know, if I felt like I worked really hard, you know, I must have worked really hard. So the first thing I have people do is just keep track of, you know, literally what did they do? You know, are they, you know, literally making progress or not? And a lot of times what I find is that their psychology doesn't map too well to their physiology. So if you were to ask them, they'd say, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm making tons of progress, you know, and then they just start documenting it, and they look back at it, and they're like, oh, well, okay, I'm not really making much of any progress.
Right.
Because they're basing it on how sort of fatigued they felt at the end of that session.
And you know what? And this is really an important point. This is something that I've actually thought about and I've actually talked about in the past.
Yep.
The notion of if you worked in construction and someone said your job was to move that pallet of bricks from one side of the building to the other, you wouldn't try to lift the whole pallet and destroy yourself. And you also wouldn't try to prove a point and lift. You'd be willing to take a small wheelbarrow. You're thinking to yourself, I got 8 hours. Why am I going to try to have this all done in an hour? And you would take a small enough amount where you're not going to completely fatigue yourself to get this work done.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is that we should look at our workouts the same way.
Yes.
This is really an interesting approach, because the way most people look at their workouts is, I have to fail on every single movement. I've got to drive myself into the ground. I've got to be completely trashed. When I walk out of the gym, I got to, you know, you hear people brag.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Tom Platz used to brag that after squatting, he would have to lay on the floor, and then getting into his Corvette was difficult, and he could hardly work the brake and the gas pedal on the way home. It's like, is that really the objective? If strength is your goal, I can't imagine that that's the objective.
No, I mean, if you look at all the top, you know, even like elite lifters, Olympic lifters, whatever, you watch like the old videos of, you know, Eddie Cohen lifting, I mean, the guys who are really good, time and time again, make it look ridiculously simple. You know, Bolton pulls over 1,000 pounds and, made it look pretty easy, you know, and at the time, you know, it was a world record, which has, you know, been outdone now by Magnussen. But, you know, almost all the top guys don't make it look hard. You know, max lift may appear a little bit harder, but you go to the gym and you see someone who's just starting and they look like their eyeball is going to shoot halfway across the room, you know, and you're going, what the?
Yeah.
So I think it's,
I mean, the Bulgarians did that. The Bulgarians made that popular. They would have their athletes go into the gym 10 times a day, but just do their max lift once each time and get out of there. So they were never exhausted. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Mike T. Nelson. Stay tuned. Let me hear some noise. DC's in the house. Trump jump rejoice. There's a party over here. A party over there. Wave your hands in the air. Shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoa, that is you already know how great the Testa 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testa 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testa 100 patch today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food, and Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trials to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
talking with Mike T. Nelson. His website is MikeTNelson.com. We're talking about accepting feedback from your body and managing it so that you can make greater progress. And we're really covering a lot of different bases here that all tie into this discussion about making progress in 2012. And, you know, the one thing that seems to be common is the training diary. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, it's the one thing that you go into gyms and you rarely ever see. And it, again, it all goes back to are you making progress on what you set out to be as your goals? And I'd say it's pretty hard to determine that if you're not writing anything down.
Yeah. Yeah, if something is not measured, it cannot be managed.
Yeah, but the Peter Drucker quote, what gets measured gets managed.
Yeah, so you really do. What's essential to be in the training diary, you think?
So what I do is, and I have my clients do the same, is write down the exercise. And then the simplest way to keep track of overload is once you've done your warm-ups, say you're doing deadlifts, you get up to, you know, what you find is your working weight, then I have them just hit start on a stopwatch and then just let it run. So we usually do most of the sets as what's called as many reps as possible, again, going until, you know, right before your speed slows down, and then just rest. Do you feel like you're recovered? And then, you know, go again. And then once you're done with that set, so say you make it for five sets, then you just hit stop on your stopwatch, and that gives you your total time. So then you can easily calculate intensity, which is just, you know, the weight on the bar, your volume, which is the weight times sets times reps, and then you have your time, so you just divide that through by your volume, and you have your density number. And what you'll find over time is that you can easily track those three measures of overload without a lot of additional effort or anything fancy, and it allows you to adjust your rest periods in between and even your reps sort of on the fly.
I
don't really use standard programs per se on, you know, more moderately advanced clients. I may give them a rough area to start in initially, but then after a while it just kind of goes out the window.
Do you think it's important to also record perhaps more esoteric things like, you know, was tired today?
Mm-hmm.
Or you do?
Yeah, I usually have people make notes of that on the top. So what I do is I teach people how to run their own little experiments. So one experiment I'm running now is monitoring my sleep patterns. So I have a list and a separate document of different sleep patterns and times and looking to see, is that associated with my training? So I'll monitor that, make a note of how I felt that day. We do another thing where we'll measure our range of motion, which is a way to determine if an exercise biomechanically may be okay for you or not. So there'll be a little bit of note in there on that. And it's a fine line because I want people to write down things that they think are important, but I don't want them to take like a half hour to write everything down either, because then they usually end up doing nothing.
Yeah, I know. You got to be careful that you don't end up with analysis paralysis.
Yep.
Okay, so with that being said, are there factors that occur outside the gym that weigh into the whole biofeedback auto-regulation of training? You know, we're talking about what we do during the training session that is going to help us better gauge whether or not we should keep pushing forward or maybe take a step back. Are there things outside the gym that we should be keeping attention to?
Yeah, the biggest one I got from my buddy Frankie Ferries is what he calls state before skills. So your state is just sort of a fancy word for your mood or sort of how you feel. Skills could be anything, you know, from if you're a professional sports player to what you practice, to the average person listening would be the skills that you perform in the gym. So one thing that I do with clients is that I actually don't allow them to sort of lift until their state is actually better or good, especially if they're a new client, because I actually want them to always associate exercise as being fun and something that they enjoy doing. If they always think it's drudgery and they always sort of hate doing it, odds are they're probably not going to do it very long. And even in more advanced athletes, if you look back in their notes, a lot of times when they got injured, it's usually lifting in a poor state. You know, and I've unfortunately done this to myself in the past. You know, oh, this X amount of weight should be pretty easy. It's not coming up today, but oh, I'm just, you know, I get all pissed and upset, and I'm like, oh, I just must be a pussy. I can lift this, and, you know, all of a sudden you might make the lift, and then you feel a little tweak of something. You're like, ooh, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
So sometimes the cost then of doing it becomes a lot higher. So I always will have them make a note of what their state was before they got to the gym.
And give me an example of what we're looking for when we're looking at our state. Is there a 0 to 10 in an area, or what is it?
Yeah, you can do like a Likert scale like that, like a 0 to 10. I usually just have people just put good or bad. And as it goes on, I usually won't let them lift per se until it's better. I don't really explicitly tell clients this, so if a guy comes over, walks in the door and goes, oh, I hate my boss, oh, he's such a prick, rah, rah, rah. You know, I may, you know, make a joke, I may do something sort of to unconsciously make sure that he's in a better state before we actually pick up any weight.
So how do you get him in a better state?
Usually it's one of three areas. So it can be biomechanically related, so some very light movements that may not be associated with what they're doing in the gym. So if they're going to do deadlifts or squats that day, you know, it may be stuff as simple as, you know, catching a ball, teaching them a new skill like juggling or.
Have you ever sent somebody home because their attitude was just so toxic that you just, you're like, nah, forget it, you're not going to train today?
Yeah. Can be biochemically related to, you know, so like coffee or tea or some type of food. The last one be more biopsychological.
What's the dangers or the downside of training when you're angry?
I just think, because if you look at the two things the brain is really, really good at, one of them is always associating whatever state you're in with whatever movement you're doing. The other one would be probably prediction. So if you look at how most people get start new exercise programs, right? They're forced to go to the gym. They go to the gym. They get there. They don't like it. It sucks. So they do, you know, whatever exercise it is. And the whole time their brain's going, hey, this sucks. This blows. I don't want to be here. And what happens is they're literally associating X movement, you know, is not fun at all.
Right.
And long-term, what that sets up is that you even mention that exercise, and they give you kind of the sourpuss face. Ooh, I hate that thing.
Right.
And the odds of them doing exercise, you know, for the rest of their life is slim to none.
Wow.
You know, so when I have people come over, I purposely don't have any standard exercise equipment. It's a power rack, kettlebells, kegs, you know, push a car, whatever, and I will do a lot of things that are, if they're open to it, not the same as what they've done in the past, because I actually don't want them to associate their past experience with what they're doing with me. And so I'll even kind of tell them, they'll say, well, you know, I did this last time, I did this X routine, and I'm like, well, how did it work for you? Ah, I hated it, didn't work at all. Oh, good. Well, that's because we use primarily kettlebells here, and, you know, kettlebells are very different than, you know, what you did before, so this is going to be completely different for you, and you'll get a much better result from this. And it's true, I'm not lying to them, you know, but I'm automatically trying to get them to not associate their sort of past failures with what they're doing coming up to make sure that, one, they show up again, and two, that they start to actually enjoy the process and training for them becomes fun. Because even if they don't work with me, I still want them to be able to do that for the rest of their life. And if they have negative associations with that, the odds of them doing it long term are like slim to none.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like diverting a child. I hate math. I know, but let me show you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk, Mike, when we come back, about overtraining. Everybody talks about overtraining. I want to get your slant on overtraining. We're talking with Mike T. Nelson. His website is miketnelson.com. Very easy to remember. We'll be right back.
riders on the storm.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking with Mike T. Nelson about listening to your body, basically, and letting it help you guide your progress. Much to do about nothing overtraining or something important, Mike? What do you think?
I would say that it depends on your definitions. So the actual definition of overtraining or overtraining syndrome is pretty severe. If you end up having it, you are going to be out for several months with flu-like symptoms. You're not going to feel good at all, and it can go on for a very long period of time. If you're a competitive athlete, it could easily end your athletic career. The good part is, would most people ever even get close to that condition? No. I mean, people would say, well, you know, if I train once a day, I'm going to overtrain. And no, not for the average person. I mean, there's many, competitive athletes that train multiple hours a day, even recreational lifters that train multiple hours per day. Most people may get to a state of more what's called overreaching, depending on the definition you use of that. So usually, if you take, 1 to 2 weeks completely off, if you can't recover during that time, probably gone sort of beyond overreaching. You may be getting into
overreaching.
Syndrome.
Overreaching is used by several training protocols, like the Big Beyond Belief training protocol by I can't think of his name right now, but perhaps you remember. But it was
I'm blanking too.
Yeah, it was also styled around the Bulgarian training style, and there were periods of overreaching and then periods of recovery. So, how do you gauge? Whether someone is overtraining or overreaching? I mean, is it just strictly flu-like symptoms? That's it, you've hit the wall? Or isn't there a canary in the mine moment where you can go, you're going too fast?
There's always sort of warning signs. So one of the best studies, I think, was done by Andrew Fry like a couple of years ago. He had these poor guys come into the lab and had them do like one-rep maxes, like repeated one-rep maxes every day, I think went on for like 2 weeks. And they're measuring, you know, blood markers and everything. And the short version is what they found was that their mood, they did like a POM scale, just, went in the hopper. They didn't feel good. They were restless, didn't sleep well. Their desire to train was, nothing. And what they saw is their performance then dropped too. So what I use is, looking at performance. Is their performance in one area going down? And then going all the way back to their state. If they just can't get themselves in a good state to even get to the gym, then that's an indication that something's really, far off. And most of the time they take a few days off and they feel good, and then their numbers, come back again.
Coach Dan John. Do you know Dan John?
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah. He did a show with me several years ago. And we got onto this whole subject because I always want to get people's angles on overtraining. Because obviously being able to tell if you're getting close to overtraining can help somebody actually turn that moment into an opportunity for progress as opposed to failure.
Definitely.
And he said that he didn't come up with this, but someone told it to him, and I forget who he said told it to him. But peripheral nervous system reaction time is a good indication of overtraining. And one of the things that you can do is get the keyboard of a computer, open up a word processor program, anyone, your choice. Pick a key, look at the clock or get a stopwatch, say 30 seconds, start the stopwatch, and tap one of the keys as frequently as you can for the entire 30 seconds. Do that when you know that you are not overtrained. And then when you start to think you're overtrained, do it again and see if the outcome is less. And, there's some logic behind that. When you think about the ability for the synapse of a nerve to fire over and over again, I have to believe that when you're getting overtrained, there's some depletion of neurotransmitters that are taking effect. The actual ability for nerves to fire in the first place, maybe slowing down. And what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's called the TAP test. And I played around with it for a little while. I have noticed with myself, and not so much the people I work with, that if I can type faster, usually I'm much more faster in the gym, so more speed type work is usually better.
Yeah, small motor movements, I think, are an indication of those things. But
yeah, so I agree there may be something there. Related to overtraining, too, that everybody tends to view it only as the nervous system. And while I think that's obviously a huge component of it, I think that the nervous system is also going to sort of integrate any tissue effects, too. So we always try to outsmart the body, and that's, I don't think, ever really a good idea because I don't think we're quite that smart yet. But that there's also going to be some tissue effects that have to be, I think, taken into the mind also, in terms of, stress and recovery on soft tissues and bone and muscle and that type of thing too. So it's going to be a combination, I think, of both.
What about this notion? I remember reading years and years, I mean, probably a decade ago, that an indication of overtraining is if you wake up in the morning and your pulse rate is very, very high.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I've talked to some people who have used it. So looking at an orthostatic, basically test. So lay down, measure your heart rate, stand up, measure your heart rate again, and you're looking at the difference between them. because you're giving your body, you know, from sort of a resting condition, a postural change, you know, by standing.
Right.
Some people seem to think that it works pretty good. I played around with it for a while, and it didn't give me any extra information that I didn't already know.
Right.
You know, so I could pretty much, after a week of doing it, I could easily sort of predict where I was going to end up being. There are people now who look at, like, heart rate variability, try and use that to determine parasympathetic versus sympathetic stimulation. That's been associated with performance also. So that'd be another way to look at the nervous system in relation to training also.
Okay. Mike, are you working on any e-books or anything like that right now?
Not right now. I actually just finished doing an e-class on metabolic flexibility. I'll probably have another e-class coming up, actually on more auto-regulatory-based type training, probably sometime around the new year, I'm thinking. So,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
And what else is going on with you? Are you training?
Yep, still training now. My goal is at some point to lift the Dinny Stones over in Scotland. It's basically a partial lift with one hand behind you, one hand in front. They have these two sort of oversized rings that are in these stones, and the total weight of the stones, it's only a partial lift, but the total weight of the stones is about 734 pounds. So I got about well over 200 more pounds to go yet. But
okay, wait a minute. So the two rings are through the stone, so you stick your forearm through the stone, I'm imagining?
Yeah, there's a ring, there's a bigger stone in front that weighs 100 pounds more than one that's behind you.
Okay.
And so there's a ring in each stone, so they're independent stones.
Okay.
And to do it, you have to straddle over them. So, like, my right hand would be in front. My left hand is actually behind me.
Oh, so you're grabbing them like kettlebell handles almost.
Yep. Okay. And now I'm also rotated to the left. So it's kind of a partial deadlift with the rotation in it.
You know,
it's a very odd lift.
Needless to say, that's not a good thing to do for the discs in your spine, assuming that you're not too far rotated. But, okay, so you say it's a partial lift. What do you mean by that?
Because of the size of the stones, the handles are up a little bit higher, so it's not quite the same distance as a deadlift. It's probably only 4 to 6 inches of total movement, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It would be like if you did a deadlift off of a couple inches of blocks.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
But still, 700 pounds, right?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Oddly enough, the lift, you know, tests really well for me. The biggest problem right now is the grip strength of my right hand, because the ring actually kind of crushes your hand together a little bit.
Right.
So that's
how have you made training duplicated training equipment at home here?
One guy I know, David Horn, has a set of rings that are duplicated based off of the Dinny Stone rings, and then also doing a lot of offset lifts. So I do a lot of Jefferson deadlifts, lifts where my feet may be in different positions. So like,
what's a Jefferson deadlift? Is that where the bar goes through your legs?
Yep, so basically just step over the bar,
yeah,
and then deadlift it that way.
What is the benefit of it? I saw a guy doing that the other day. What is the benefit of a Jefferson deadlift?
So what I find is that a lot of people in general are going to be more asymmetric in both their function and kind of how they are. And I think if you do a Jefferson deadlift in the correct orientation, because you can get a fair amount of heavy weight on it, that for a lot of people it actually can be highly corrective. Because now you're getting
so for instance, if I tend to be stronger on my right side than my left side, I should deadlift with my left hand in front and my right hand behind to put it at a disadvantage, my right hand at a disadvantage?
I would try that. That's probably where I would start. I'd also try the reverse of that and just see which one feels better, which one has a little bit better bar speed, that type of thing.
Can you typically handle more weight when you do a Jefferson than you do when you do a regular deadlift?
Depends on the person. Usually, in general, no. Because the mechanics of it are a little bit different, but, you know, there's guys who, their Jefferson's probably more than their conventional, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, because the Jefferson also looks like a kind of a sumo deadlift, too, because your legs are pretty far apart.
Yeah, so it can be a little bit farther apart. When I do it, because my femurs are so long, I have a little bit more of a bend and rotation to it just to get down to the bar. So for me, I feel a lot more on my basically sides and obliques and that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
So
I may try it. I saw a guy deadlift for the first time like that the other day, and I thought, gee, there's got to be a reason he's doing that. Maybe I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Listen, Mike, I want to thank you for coming on Super
Human
Radio today.
And, yeah, that's awesome.
People, go to Mike's website, Mike T, like Tom. What is your middle name?
Tom, you guessed
it. Oh, man. What's I'm going to go out and buy a lottery ticket.
You better.
MikeTNelson.com. Thanks a lot, Mike.
No problem. Thanks, Carl. Okay. Appreciate it.
Hi, and I also want to thank Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnson for coming on. JohnsonStrengthGroup.com, SuperSquat 800 at Yahoo.com, or just Facebook, Coach Johnson. Wade, W-A-D-E Johnson dot, Wade Johnson at Facebook, on Facebook. Also, Rob Regish is on Facebook, R-E-G-I-S-H, or you can get, more information about his book, The Blueprint, by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the banner ad. We will have a fantastic Casual Friday for you tomorrow. Come hell or high water, we're doing Casual Friday. We'll see you tomorrow.